Our Africa correspondent is Deborah Patter with the COVID vaccine rolling out there, or perhaps not very fast. Are there the same inequities and similarities on the continent as there are in other parts of the world?
Indeed, they really are. We have a deeply unequal global distribution of COVID vaccines on this continent. I mean, if you consider that 14% of the world's population has snapped up the lion's share of vaccines, wealthy nations, and that means that probably 9 out of 10 people in developing countries won't be vaccinated this year, many not until 2023. And that's not just a problem for African countries or developing countries. It's a problem for the world because, as we've seen in India, the virus is continuing to mutate. And when the virus mutates, vaccines become less and less effective against these new mutations. There's already been concerns over AstraZeneca's effectiveness regarding the so-called South African variant, which fueled a second wave here in December. So it's very worrying. The world needs to vaccinate its way out of this pandemic. But as the saying goes, nobody is safe until everybody is safe. And that really is what it means for vaccines. One of the ways poorer countries are trying to address this is by petitioning the World Trade Organization to have patent waivers lifted on vaccines. But many countries have been very slow to come to the party and are opposing this, usually wealthier nations. The US has finally come to the party and said that they will back this. And certainly we don't want a repeat of what happened with the HIV/AIDS pandemic on this continent. It took 6 years and well over 9 million deaths worldwide before pharmaceutical companies waived patent rights so that cheaper HIV drugs could be made accessible, could be procured. And it was incredible. Once they'd made that decision, Catherine, the price dropped from a staggering $10,000 a person to just $100 a year once that patent waiver was lifted. It's been done before, and people in these countries are arguing it can be done again. It's a matter of life or death.
There's also the COVAX program, which was supposed to be the richer nations contributing towards this bigger pool of a pool of vaccines that would go to some of the less wealthy nations. But it's way off the pace as well, yeah?
Look, and the problem is that nobody has enough vaccines. Everybody is short of it. Everybody's holding on to it, worried that they won't have enough vaccines to vaccinate their country, this vaccine nationalism, as it were. So you already have a global shortage. You have a virus that is mutating, so concerns that the existing vaccines may need to be tweaked, may need a booster vaccine, as it were, so that they'll be more effective against these mutations. And so everybody's holding on to what they have. But the fact remains is that some countries can vaccinate their population not once, not twice over, in some instances, 7 times over. And what people are arguing is that these vaccines have to be shared so that everybody in the world can be safe. Because as long as you leave a mutant virus raging in one part of the world, as we've seen, it will just continue to spread, and then we'll have the situation going on and on for years to come.
What is happening with a growth in the presence and influence of ISIS, or IS as it was also known? What is happening and where?
Well, that's a very good question that you're asking. You know, while the whole world's been focused on the pandemic, terrorist organizations have been happily getting on with their business as usual. And very disturbingly, in Mozambique, which neighbors South Africa, we've seen in the north of Mozambique a startling rise in ISIS in that area. Now, about the insurgency in that part of the world began about 3 years ago, but by then it was just a couple of dozen militants in 2017 when it began. But in the last year, we've seen exponential growth where there's well over 800 of these fighters. They are well armed, they're sophisticated, they appear to have had foreign training, and it appears that they're making some kind of land grab similar to that of northern Iraq in the northern part of Mozambique. I spoke to someone in the State Department, the U.S. State Department, who told me that they see a striking similarity in the battlefield tactics in northern Mozambique with those used by the terror group in both Iraq and Syria when they were at the height of their power in those areas. is very recently there was a horrific attack on the coastal city of Palma. Nearly 200 foreign workers were holed up in a local hotel while ISIS militants ran rampage in this area and then tried to escape in a convoy of 17 cars. But some people were killed in that. We still don't know exact numbers, but it was pretty horrific by all accounts. And Palm is a very strategic area because it's home to a $50 billion gas project being developed by energy companies. So it's no surprise that the terror group is focusing on that particular area to have chaos and confusion and possibly to see it as a way to make money as well.
What is the nature of this resurgence? What kinds of things are ISIS-aligned people doing?
Well, I think one of the things that's been so disturbing about it is the level of brutality. Now, ISIS is no stranger to brutality. We've seen some pretty brutal attacks in the last couple of years around the world by this organization and its franchises elsewhere in the world. But in this particular instance, seeing a lot more beheadings than have ever happened before, where entire villages are being attacked. And we've seen children as young as 12 in some instances being targeted by the terror group, where they're being killed, being beheaded, and being targeted in a very, very brutal way. Young girls being kidnapped and taken into sex slavery. So the level of brutality, people who study it and experts in this field say that it's something that they haven't seen before in this part of the world, and in many ways haven't seen this level of brutality from the group, which I think is saying a lot.
Are they also cutting telecommunications links, Deborah?
We saw that in Palma when they attacked the area. Those have now been restored. But certainly what they seem to be doing is sort of taking hold of certain areas. And effectively, the Mozambican police force and the Mozambican defense force are simply not trained well enough to be able to combat them. They're no match for this group. And so they're able to launch these very sophisticated campaigns where initially they cut off telecommunication links and actually start sieging, taking hold of strategic banks and institutions within these cities. They haven't been able to hold onto those for a sustained period of time. So we'll have to see going forward if the Mozambican Defense Force is able to actually seize back control of these areas. But certainly that has been part of their strategy.
South Africa is looking into a ban on captive lion hunting.
Now, many people would say that's taken a very, very long time to come and should have happened a long time ago. Canned hunting, for those who are not familiar, is an absolutely horrific form of hunting where you partially sometimes drug an animal, a lion in this particular instance, and other animals as well, to allow hunters to so-called hunt and get this poor animal. Now, obviously, you know, the animal's no match for the hunter because it's not operating in its normal habitat. So even if you support hunting, which many people don't do that as well and say it should be banned completely, this particular form of hunting means that lions are kept in captivity and basically are bred to be hunted, which is exceptionally cruel and something that a lot of people and organizations have been speaking out against for some time now. It also, this ban, when it goes ahead, the South African government has supported, will also ban breeding lions for petting. So in South Africa, in the past, there have been these lion parks where tourists can go and actually pet lion cubs. Now, the problem is that with that is once you've done that, then the animal can no longer go back into the wild. So effectively, they're being bred again